So guys, every day I discovered a new narrative or a new reason why something, the price could move up or down. And if you know that, you'll learn something new about what can move the price up or down, then you have to assume there's guaranteed there's something you don't know yet. I don't know how to make this clear. Like how, I don't know. I would just not play any type of game. I would not play poker if I didn't know the pot odds, if I didn't know what hands beat what hands, you know? It just, you're just a fish there waiting to get slaughtered there. It doesn't make sense. And that's the trick there. It's looking at that chart to spot the breakout in the crude oil price chart, even here there. So it's still got, we're many, many months away from a breakout there. We're that early there. Could take a few months just to get above that line, maybe another few months to get back above that line. Goodness, like we could be in 2026 by the time this breaks out there.
Could we look into Exxon and Shell a little bit and kind of, if you can give us those charts and show what they're indicating?
Well, yeah, it's funny because the Shell chart is just looks crazy, crazy good there. That Shell chart is just, you can even make a case that it broke out last month. It's just, look at that long-term trend line there. One, two, goodness gracious, three. And you can make a case that it broke out last month there. It looks marginal, but goodness, I don't know, man. That Shell chart is just, that's a crazy long-term pattern. So you got to be careful of these oil companies and the oil price itself. While they do trend together, there's periods where these oil companies just do great, even if oil goes nowhere. Well, all that evidence, all the scientific, you know, no narrative driven stuff, just like if you want to complement whatever you're doing on your side, but you want to complement with objective, unbiased analysis, then you'll find that on our website.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. Steve Yang here. Today, we're diving into the real energy driving the world, oil and natural gas. And to help us, I've asked Patrick Karim from North Star Bad Charts to be here. I love Patrick because he doesn't trade headlines. He trades data and evidence, and he's nailed major turning points across gold, silver, other commodities. And today, I love his thoughts on oil and natural gas. Patrick, great to have you. Thanks for being on the show.
Hi, Steve. It's super fun there. I can't wait to talk to you. It's the first time, and hopefully we get to get some nice golden tidbits there from those charts.
Patrick, before we zoom in, I would love your thoughts. I mean, I've been fascinated with your approach. If you can tell us about, you know, the scientific, you know, weight of evidence approach that you work off of, and, you know, how do the charts help you cut through the noise and see what's really happening?
Yeah, it's I kind of, you know what, I started like everybody, you know, when I got it some funds, and then after that I went on Google or Yahoo back in the days, and then the first stuff you find is it's all the tourist traps, right? I fell in the all stock charts. I can't remember, like a whole bunch of penny stock forums I was on buying stuff. I didn't even look at the charts. Like some people in the forums were posting charts, but it's like, I guess that's how people, sometimes a noob or somebody who hasn't seen charts, maybe they see my charts that way. But I would just dismiss the people doing stuff on charts, and I just listened to the narrative because that's all I could understand, right? This company's making whatever, plated the bulletproof cars, it was the Iraq war or whatever, and it just I was playing off those narratives. But then after that I got burnt many times. It's like a miracle that I didn't lose everything, and usually you do get wiped out. But I was sleeping at night, I wasn't using proper risk and money management, and I couldn't sleep at night. So the next day I would sell everything, and thank goodness, because I look at those charts today there, it was like they're these companies, they like nothing's happened, right? They lost everything. So then I fell. I was, somebody presented me the book, Profiting in Bull and Bear Markets by Stan Weinstein or Weinstein. And that book was a game changer because he starts his first chapter explaining that back in the, whatever, the late 70s, early 80s, and nobody, the fundamentals for, like, let's say casinos was terrible. Nobody wanted them, but he was looking at the charts and they were coiling and tightening. The evidence, like the scientific evidence there, the actual price chart was coiling and tightening around the 30-week moving average, starting to move upwards with volume. And he says, man, something's happening. Money's starting to pour in here. It's not just going sideways anymore. It's actually trending upwards, higher lows, higher highs, those like evidence points. And he said, forget about the news, because the news, while sometimes it can coincide with price going up, and that's dangerous actually, because if the price is going up with the news, you think it's the news driving the price. But what happens if the news stays the same and the price starts turning down? What are you going to do? You're trapped, because you won't be able to accept that the market participants, the aggregate of them, are starting to price that thing downwards. It could be a start of a bear market, who knows? And the fundamentals will keep you in longer than you should. So often the worst fundamentals is when the price is starting to break out and go upwards, and people are like, no, it doesn't make sense this. But at the market, you got to remember it's like forward looking. And that's another thing, like the miners were super stretched recently. And people say, well, look, at gold price is this, the miners are priced like this. They should be priced according to the fundamentals, you know, whatever the price to earnings, the cost of bringing, whatever, extracting an ounce of gold. The miners should be priced even higher. There's a catch up. But then my response was, how do you know how much of that is already priced in? Like, I don't, like, how do you know? Like, you just, like, so I decided to cleanse myself of all that, become Zen, don't care about the narratives, don't care about all that. I listen to that. I hear this, the news, but look, the bullish news, no. In a bull market, bullish news is bullish, bearish news is bullish in a bull market. In a bear market, bearish news is bearish, and bullish news in a bear market is bearish, because it's those capital flows. And hopefully when we go in the charts, like that scientific evidence, like what's the chart actually doing? Like who cares where you think it's going to go, the price, like based on fundamentals or storyline. Like I don't want to dismiss that. I know I don't want to hurt people's feelings, and a lot of people spend a lot of time researching that, and it's fine. I'm just deciding not to look at that, because I accept that I'll never know all the fundamentals, and I'm always scared that what about if there's a fundamental that's super important that contradicts my fundamental thesis, and I'm not aware of it. Like as soon as you realize that there's it's possible that you don't know all the elements. That's super dangerous. Like, would you play a baseball game without understanding the concept of strikes or understanding all the rules? It doesn't make sense. So I'm accepting that I'll never know all the rules. I'll never know all the moving parts. But what I do know is the people who do know that across the world, they will place their bets, and that will carve out the price chart. And that's how I get an edge, is just look, I'll forget all the noise. I'll spend time with my family. I'll go play golf. I'll do whatever. But all I have to do is look at the chart and say yes or no, bam, right away. Yes or no, I could dismiss. And if the chart matures and it's ready later on, Steve, then I'll play it, you know, when it's ready to go.
Patrick, I would love to see this play out, and I know you're a charts guy. I'm a visual guy myself, and I'm confident that the listeners will benefit from letting us get inside your brain and showing us kind of live feed what you're thinking. If you'd be so kind as to get out the chart, the oil, I'd love to know what your thoughts are on the oil cycle right now, first of all. I mean, are we in an early bull consolidation, something bigger? What are we looking at here?
All right, let's do it. I love oil. Oil. I'll start big picture. I don't know if a lot of people saw this chart here. I'll remove my indicators. I'll put this. This, guys, I'm on the yearly closing price for oil since 1861. I know it's far, guys. I know, but it's important for me to show you this. So this is the closing price for oil since 1861, right? And now we're. And guys, it's not the end of the world. Like gold, oil was 65 cents here. Let's say 1931, it was 31 cents. And people, if they would have told you that it would have went tenfold, it'd be the end of the world. It was not the end of the world. Then it went another tenfold. It was not the end of the world. And if it goes up another tenfold, guys, don't worry about it. It will not be the end of the world. It depends how fast it gets there, but because of the destruction of purchasing power, as long as your wages go up, even if the price of oil goes up, is it that, you know, it doesn't hurt as much as people think, right? People think, let's say I have a $300 target for oil. People, they imagine that targets right away. No, guys, look, of course, if it goes from whatever it is now, say $60 to 300, like overnight, of course, that's going to be a crazy shot. But if it takes 10 years, 15 years to get to 300, it's not the end of the world. Here's the oil chart. I have to overlay the silver chart. New price scale, and I'll put on log. Check this
so
out.
We're comparing oil and silver.
Yeah, just overlaying, just to show people, and this could help also the people playing silver. Look, over long periods of time, look at that. Oil and silver is practically the same chart. Practically the same chart. Of course, there's years where oil closes higher, silver closes lower, but the trend correlation, and people could fill in the backdrop what the causation is. As a chart trader, I don't care about the cause. It's the trend. But look at that. They trend together. Look at that. Over 100, how many years? 160 years? So silver's going up. Gold's going up. I could put gold also here. Gold, the only issue I have with gold on this is gold was pegged prior to 1971, but it doesn't matter much. See, oil, gold here got unpegged, and people say, it's the government or whoever's unpegging it that's controlling the gold price. No, there was pressures, incoming pressures of rising oil price, rising silver price. I guess they had to unpeg it because it didn't make sense anymore. And on the inverse, people don't realize is oil and silver were depreciating here in those late 1800s all the way to 1920s. Silver and oil were going down. Their purchasing power was actually going up back in those days. So people think it's always destruction of purchasing power. It's programmed in the system. It has pretty much still is that to a large extent, but there are periods when the U.S., I don't know if that was a highly prosperous period for the U.S., but the cost of oil and the cost of silver was actually going down. And because they had gold pegged back then, that actually helped a lot of people holding the gold price, because the gold price, if it would have been free floating back in those days, it should have actually went down, the gold price, right? Because if silver goes down, oil goes down, gold should also be going down. But putting that history lesson aside, they're all tracking together. Oil's up, gold's up, silver's up. Oil is not up yet. So now we could start looking at oil. When will it bottom? When will it turn around? When will it give us an opportunity to play? So here I'll pop up the oil chart, that wick, man, from the COVID lows there. It just messes up all the charts. That negative oil, like
that's a weird time.
that was like,
I'm still wounded. This? I'm still wounded from that, Patrick.
Because you didn't buy enough, or you didn't like
a little bit of both. Just
shell shock. I was there, and I was telling my girlfriend back in the days. I said, maybe we should empty the pool. We had a 60,000 liter pool. Maybe we should empty it and just fill up with oil. Of course, I could have just bought futures contract, but it didn't. But back then, it didn't make sense, right? It's like it was the end of the world. Negative oil, like what is that about? Negative oil. Oh, we're never going to need oil again. That's it. It's like that's just crazy, man. That was just.
I should have backed up the trucks.
Yeah, well, a chart trader would have probably not bought that, but he could have zoomed in. He could have went, let's on the daily chart. Let's do some revisionist history there. What you could have done is
just to tell me what I missed out on. Just to tell me what I missed out on, Patrick.
At what next time it happens, and let's say it does happen.
Yeah, I'm gonna jump on it.
Yeah, I know a lot of people would have bought like a negative, but here you could have bought here or maybe here. It's like maybe I would have bought at $25. Like I don't think I would have ever bought down here because it was negative. I know it's just crazy there. Sometimes you're wondering how long is it going to stay negative? Is it going to bounce right. V-shaped like this? Is it going to stay years sideways? Maybe it's just going to ponder around $15 and $30. Let's say they didn't decide to print and they decide to let the economy, like whatever. Let's say COVID would have been worse. With hindsight, we always kick ourselves we should never kick ourselves, because it could have done this instead of, it did this, it went up.
Yeah.
But it could have easily spent. It could have, let me draw us. It's good, guys, to visualize. I know this is a good thing. If you're visual, Steve, always look. I'll do this trick here. I know people want to know. So here I'm hiding all the price action while people imagine it goes up. So you have to wait for evidence. So me, I would wait until this line break broke out. But what could have easily happened? I don't know. It could have broken out later. It could have decided to to go down and then break out. And as a chart trader, you'd never want to. That opportunity cost thing is a real thing there. So it could have done that. Who knows? Like a huge double bottom. Like it just happened that it played out very aggressively to the upside, but it didn't have to do that. But as soon as it did start closing above, as soon as you started closing above that line, then the odds of this happening, they diminish severely. And then you have to look here. And then after that, this is your scenario here at this stage. It's oh goodness. Right, that is there. Then after that, that's your scenario, something like that there, where it goes up later on. So what, how is it today? Let's
Yeah,
remove.
so for something like that, if another COVID happens, I'm gonna one, I'm gonna see if you're available to pick your brain.
Yes.
I'm gonna look back at this interview.
Yes, I'll be posting. I don't think we'll ever see negative oil
Negative
again there.
again
That's just crazy
in our
there.
lifetime.
Well, yeah, in our lifetime
Who
also. Yes,
knows?
definitely. Yeah, events could rehappen, but we need some crazy, crazy disinflation. Oh man, okay, let's stop this replay thing. It's gonna take forever. Okay, here's your replay. Okay. So here's oil today. What's fun about oil is you're starting to get a nice breakout line, which is telling you where. So we got something like this here. It tried breaking out here on the daily chart back here, and then could have said, oh, okay, maybe it's starting to wake up, but the chart just morphed into a bigger pattern. So until this line is cleared, you just don't do it. You can't really play all it, because it's the same thing. Like, what if it just keeps going down there? Like, you don't want to waste your time. You could be playing, I don't know. Maybe there's something else there that's going up in the meantime. So that's my line in the sand for oil. And there's also wall of resistance for oil. I think it's right here. So this huge top, there's this concept, Steve, of walls, or people sometimes call them pivot line. Previous support turned resistance, support, bounce, support. It's like a support area, bounce, support, breaks down, now it becomes resistance. It managed to go up a little bit above. Then it's back below. So that line here, that's 66, maybe it's a range, not quite sure where it is, 67, $70. That's resistance. So it's previous support turn resistance. And until we clear that, there's no low risk entry here. But once we do clear that 66, $70 level, then we're looking at something like this. So instead of being at below there, we're above. I'm going to zoom out to the weekly. It's killing me, the wick. One day it'll be because it's forcing me to always play around with the. So here is, yeah, it's pretty much the weekly chart and the daily. They share pretty much the same breakout line. Let me see if my wall, I could adjust it. What I'm looking for is the maximum amount of touches on that line. One, two, three, four, five, six. Yeah, so it's pretty much here. $66 on a weekly close. If we close above that, then it's go time. I'll give you a trick. There's a trick there. There's this cool ticker, USL. And what it is, it's 12 months of futures contract for oil. So essentially it smooths out the price chart, because when you see the oil chart, the spot price, it's often tracks the nearest contract, futures contract. So it's very volatile. Like, if there's like, how much is the market pricing in, like, for the next delivery of oil, and that could fluctuate a lot. But the USL, what it does is it spreads the price of oil, but on 12. So it has the next contract, whatever, December, January, February, March, has 12 months of contracts. And it has the contracts. What does the market expect the price of oil to be in 12 months? And it smooths out the chart a lot, and it gives you sometimes a bet. Look at that. You see, look at the control Z. Oh goodness. The spike. I can't.
Are you going to show us that USL trick?
Yeah, well, it's right here. I'll put it back there. I did it back, USL. So here, the breakout line, the peak here, we had that crazy peak here for oil. It's not as pronounced on the USL chart. So now we get a much cleaner breakout line. If that, you see, it's less descending, it's less aggressive. I trust that breakout line more than the one on the oil chart itself. That's so what if USL is, where's my breakout line? Yeah, maybe here. Well, if we start getting closes here above $38, $40 on that USL chart, then that's a crazy breakout. Because look at this pattern. This is a classic. You had a huge expanding descending wedge. Hold on, right here. Look at this huge pattern there. That's just crazy what happened here. You had a descending pattern, which should be bullish, but only once you break out to the top side. But it actually ruptured to the downside and then decided to go back in the pattern, retest, and shoot back upwards. That is super bullish. Whenever you have a failed pattern in one direction and then it reverses back in the pattern and then shoots the other side, that means you've trapped so many people here that were short that all that energy, eventually the people who want to go long, they go long, but these guys have to cover eventually, right? They can't stay short forever. They're going to get put out of business. So they fuel. So you have the people wanting to go long, plus you have these short covers. So now you have double whammy to the upside. And then you get a measure move up. Let me get my fancy arrow. Then you get a measure move up of that pattern, add it on top, and then it even overshot. So here what we have is this move here. So the pull added to this huge flag pattern. So that's oil is going up and up and up. It's like if that breaks to the upside, you see, unless it does something here, that's why you always need to respect if it has a bottom. I could draw the bottom here. Maybe we're here somewhere. So as long, if you break up here, you're bullish. If you break below here, you're bearish. In the meantime, you have a bullish setup, but I can't repeat this how many times. Because I say I have a bullish setup, people, oh, it's a bullish setup. And they, I don't know if it's a miscomprehension, but bullish setup does not mean a confirmed bullish. Not all bullish setups resolve upwards. You know, there was a bullish setup here. Maybe somebody could have, goodness, having our time here. Yeah.
So what does the bullish setup indicate?
Right. Well, right here. So if ever we get a close for the USL price chart, if we get some weekly closes above here, above 38, then the target is crazy. So that'll be the market. So it's probably, I don't know if like if we're past the, if we're still in the recession, if as soon as oil stops pricing in this disinflation, then that will just be some crazy, crazy move upwards there once we close out of this. Oh my goodness, I think there's even a bigger pattern here. Move that one.
So Patrick, so I'm understanding, so a bullish setup doesn't guarantee a bull run, but it indicates upside?
That's right. So it doesn't guarantee that it's gonna resolve upwards, but a bullish setup should get your spider senses ready. Okay, I'm putting my alerts. It's there. It's like, I don't know, a batter there. He's waiting for the setup or maybe the pitcher. The pitcher's he's doing his curveball, his fastball. He's setting up the batter to where he wants to be able to get that strike off him by positioning him, making like, you know, put an inside ball. So he's moving his legs a little bit out. Then he could throw it outside and he's going to miss, you know. So that's the setup. It's beautiful. But we just have to wait. Now it's a patience game. You don't front run that. You know, like some people, they get greedy. They say, oh, but Patrick, look, if I don't buy now, I'm going to miss this 12% to the breakout line. Well, that breakout line is also a resistance line. So forget that 13%. What you should be driving for is this move up here. It's not that 13%. Who cares about that? This is what you're going to get, 120%. But once, if you're patient enough to wait until, you know, you close above that breakout line. So that's it's a crazy bullish pattern, but you just need to, and you remember those first charts, the oil chart, silver chart, gold chart on a yearly close basis, they trend together and they just do there. Until they don't, you got to assume that oil's going to follow track there. Maybe you could be telling me, Steve, well, Patrick, if you know it's going to go up, I might as well dollar cost average in, right? But again, how long is it going to take? You know, it's on a, the correlation is not year per year that it always closes. If one goes up, oil could go sideways, down for a year. Are you going to really wait and stick into oil until it breaks out? I think you just got to wait there and let that setup play out. But guys, just put your alerts on. I'm going to put my alert right here, add an alert, and that's it. I'm going to go have fun with my kids and forget about this.
Patrick, you seem to be a guy who sleeps easy. I love it.
I try because I'm very like emotional or hypochondriac. Like I have all these things, so I had to find techniques to offset all my nervousness, all my stuff. So to be able to, for me to sleep good at night, I need to be able to do the charts because I could. I don't have to worry the next day. What's Trump gonna say, or who's gonna say what, or like I don't care about all that stuff. If the chart's breaking out, I have the comfort that I know the aggregate of market participants, they're pricing in something or a new trend direction. And that's, I'm gonna put my money with those guys, with the aggregate of market participants where they want the price to go. They're my guiding light there. It's not, I don't have to live in fear of somebody saying some crazy stuff there on the news there.
Speaking of which, we talked about people following, people listen to narrative or media. They look at geopolitics. You focus on price. You look at the fundamentals. Could you show us, why it's so important to look at data first, and then narrative second? Like, how do the charts help you filter out the noise? And then, if you can also, highlight the major structural signals.
Look, if I could overlay, and I think I had my partner there, Kevin Wadsworth here, he did it there. He overlaid the gold chart. And you have a whole bunch of news events that happened during, let's say, the bull run for the 2000s. And the bearish news, it was when the price was starting to go up, probably, right? Like UK was selling all their gold. You remember that, whatever, the brown bottom, Canada's getting rid of all their gold. Like, so if you would listen to those, well, if the central bank's getting rid of their gold, the government's getting rid of their gold, like gold can't go up, right? It's like, but no, the price of gold kept going up. And you had some crazy bullish news back here. I remember back here in 2011, what was it? The Greek default, Italy in shambles. It was like, oh, they'd have to do QE, print money, and all that stuff. Like all the bullish news were super bullish news back here. But the structure, we've been running hot for what, 10 years? And I'll show you the gold versus SPX ratio was starting to falter right here. So while you had a crazy amount of bullish news here and people, that's when, I don't know, people were saying 4,000, 5,000, and this, 10,000 or gold price. If I overlay here, this gold versus SPX, which you could have seen. So this is how I do macro by using these, massive asset classes, like let's say gold and SPX, like, the ratio of those two is actually telling you from a macro where the money's flowing in. So I'm going to remove this one. So here at the bottom pane, guys, I have gold versus SPX. And you could see back here in 2000, let's see when this thing started faltering there. It started faltering here. And here, let me put a vertical line here. So when, look at that. Gold was starting to top and falter versus SPX before the price. I have to zoom in there for your viewers. Before the price totally imploded from that topping pattern. Then after that, a few months later, then it lost this one, two, three, four, like this super longer term rising support line right here. So now gold on its price chart starting to roll over, but it's not just that it's rolling over. It's rolling over with and also unwinding versus SPX. And that is a key element. That is a capital rotation event in favor of stocks. So that's why it's going to be super important the next time this happens, but now it's going to happen in favor of gold. This is gold. Yeah, gold versus SPX. It's very close to breaking out to the upside. So as soon as the stocks do decide to roll over, like gold, like here gold was rolling over. When stocks they decide to roll over, that ratio, if it's likely to shoot upwards and break out, that means it's a confirmed capital rotation event in favor of gold. And that's when you were restarting a long-term run, no matter what the news are, no matter. And this is another thing. Sometimes you get bullish news, you want to be a contrarian. It's too bullish a sentiment. I have to, I will short it or exit. But sometimes the bullish news gets even more bullish. Who are you to say that that bullish news is the most bullish news it could get? Maybe something even more bullish is going to come up down the pipeline that you don't even know of. But the market participants, as long as they keep the price trending upwards, you got to respect that. And I don't know, there's so many examples. And often the bearish news might start coming in and the price might still keep going up because there's money that was already in the pipeline planned. You know, let's say you have a pension fund there for a company. Yeah, they have to go to a board of directors meeting. They might allocate billions of dollars, and they spread that over the next quarters to put out. Once they put out those orders, you know, that could still fuel a run and do these these blow off tops, and you don't even understand why it's happening. But it's that pre-planned money that was just, you know, programmed to go in the pipelines, those capital flows. So, guys, every day I discover a new narrative or a new reason why something, the price could move up or down. And if you know that, you'll learn something new about what can move the price up or down, then you have to assume there's guaranteed there's something you don't know yet. I don't know how to make this clear. Like how, I don't know. I would just not play any type of game. I would not play poker if I didn't know the pot odds, if I didn't know what hands beat what hands, you know. It just, you're just a fish there waiting to get slaughtered there. It doesn't make sense. So from the news perspective, there'll be a whole bunch of bullish and bearish news all around here, which could have you exit early while there was no reason for you to exit, or could have you enter early while there's no reason for you to enter. And how are you going to actually weigh that bullish news? Let's say there's a news coming in. Okay, that news is that, let's say the market did not price it. It's like a fresh news event nobody knew about. What's the impact on the price of that news? Is it a news that's going to carry the price for a couple of weeks? Is it a type of news that's going to carry the price for months, for years? Like how, I'm not a specialist. Like, are we specialists? Like how could we on our chairs here decide that what type of news is able to carry the price that amount of time? I think it's your bias, because let's say I'm long gold or long whenever, I'll always see the best case scenario for any type of news that could support my thesis. So I could explain to my wife, well, I put all our life fortune in this. It's going to go up, honey, because of this, 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 and that.
No.
We just don't know, guys. Like, again, that, like, I don't want to hit people, like, but whatever you do, fundamentals, guys, have fun with it, enjoy it, but please look at the charts. At least look at the charts. And if we get in a scenario where gold is breaking down versus PX, gotta be wary. But that's not what's happening, Steve. Now it's the opposite. Gold, no matter where gold is, the price, it could be at 4,000, 3,000, 10,000, doesn't matter. If it's doing this versus SPX and that thing breaks out, you gotta be looking at much, much higher gold prices. It's just that crazy there. And this is also to show you how early we are. I'm pretty sure, look, this is the 1960s there. I don't think we're back in the early 2000s. The more I look at it and the yields start to curve up, I think we're 100%. I think there's a high likelihood that we're closer to late 1960s. And you got to remember the late 1960s, gold was pegged, but silver was going up, oil was going up in conjunction with the stock market. And that's what's happening today, right? Gold's up, silver's up with the stock market. But once that line breaks out, that's highly likely because the markets will be going down, going into 10-year, like just going nowhere, you know, just going up 40%, 100%, going down 50, going up 100, going down 50. It's like, it's going to be a mess here. But that's the crazy, crazy setup we're in there. And that supports oil going up, because oil did go up in the 70s. Oil did go up in the 2000s. And if that breaks out, once we get rid of that disinflation fear, and oil breaks out on those charts we showed your viewers there just a few minutes ago. Oh. It's just going to be bonkers there.
Patrick, just so for our listeners, we are talking about oil, but you're looking at gold and the SPX because you see the gold chart and the silver chart being very related to oil. Is that, can you clarify that a little bit?
That's 100% that. So here's the oil chart. I'm gonna double click here. Here's my, so here I have the SPX. Okay, I'll show you the SPX to gold versus SPX. And when that breaks upwards, oil follows that, those capital flows, right? The money's coming in, the precious metals, the value, the hard stuff, the commodities, right? It drops on your foot. All that money's coming into here. As the ratio is going down, where gold is not able to siphon, that's putting some headwinds on the oil price chart that's above. That one. Wait, where is it? It's right here. Look in the 2000s. Ah, goodness gracious, Pat. Here. See, oil's going up alongside gold. Gold's performance for SPX. And right now, as soon as that breaks out to the upside, it's you have to support. It supports. It's going to put a lot of tailwinds instead of headwinds on oil. And no matter what you think of, whatever AI is going to replace oil or whatever the narratives are, I think it's highly likely that oil does shoot upwards for whatever the reasons will be backfilled later on. There, it's fine there, no matter what the reasons are.
Oil, so you make, sorry, you make the assumption that, just like silver follows gold, oil follows the same trend as well. But
yes,
gold is usually first, and then oil follows and catches up. Is that?
Yeah. I mean, they don't have to play in the same order, but now gold has led again. Once again, has led versus SPX. Silver now is also doing fine versus SPX. They're all starting to turn upwards. The soft commodities are not doing very good versus SPX. Oil is not doing very good versus SPX. So you have to, the instigator of all this will be the SPX. When the market participants believe the SPX is entering into a bear market, which will bring the SPX down 50%, that's when there's a recession, like officially, like, I don't know, the unemployment rate keeps going up. They can't hide it anymore. When they start, the government starts taking on accelerated debt, you know, public works, stimulus programs, bailouts, when all that stuff comes in like crazy, that's to try to put a floor under the U.S. equities from falling further, and they'll be able to do that.
Right.
Commodities, the destruction of purchasing power will fuel all that stuff there to rocket upwards there. So, yeah, oil is still lagging, but it's the setup's morphing into existence. We just need weakness right now, true weakness in the U.S. equities, and it's not there yet.
Patrick, I do want to jump back to the USL. You said you were giving us a trick. Would love to see if that play out. If you said that that's something you watch more carefully, if not to put words in your mouth, but something like that. Well, this is the actual oil.
That's it. Well, that's the trick, guys, because that line is smoothed out. It gives you a more an easier trend line, an easier visual to see where the breakout is going to occur. So that's the trick there. It's use the USL chart to smooth out the price chart to get a better breakout line, a more maybe a reliable breakout line. And here's my levels. Yeah, maybe here there. So a close, guys. I have my alert set at, I'm going to fine tune that. I have my alert set at 40, maybe a close on the USL chart. I'll remove that one. And that's the trick there. It's looking at that chart to spot the breakout in the crude oil price chart, even here there. So it's still got we're many, many months away from a breakout there. We're that early there. It could take a few months just to get above that line, maybe another few months to get back above that line. Goodness, like, we could be in 2026 by the time this breaks out there. We will be in 2026, maybe mid 2026, by the time this breaks out there.
So I know that you're a big proponent on looking at leadership. Leaders have to lead, sort of thing. Could we look into Exxon and Shell a little bit, and kind of, if you can give us those charts and show what they're indicating?
Well, yeah, it's funny because the Shell chart is just looks crazy, crazy good there. That Shell chart is just, you can even make a case that it broke out last month. It's just, Look at that long-term trend line there. One, two, goodness gracious, three. And you can make a case that it broke out last month there. It looks marginal, but goodness. I don't know, man. That shell chart is just, that's a crazy long-term pattern. So you got to be careful of these oil companies and the oil price itself. While they do trend together, there's periods where these oil companies just do great, even if oil goes nowhere. So they're related, you know, they'll get tailwinds if oil is moving upwards, but they don't necessarily like these oil price that, yeah, you could see in a way that you could say, okay, I guess they're leading there, but Shell is looking pretty sweet there. And adjusted for dividends, Shell is, my goodness, what's wrong for? What's wrong for my mouse there? Okay, here. What? Stuck here. Sorry, having technical issues. I'm trying a trackball, guys. Did you ever try this, a trackball, Steve?
And they're terrible. I don't like them.
Hey, man, I almost threw it out the window.
I've got a big thumb, so it's
It's tough. There's a learning curve to this. Like the mouse is. Then I said, look, I'm gonna give it a shot, and I'm getting a little bit better at it, but it's still a work in progress. Here's the dividend adjusted Shell chart, oil chart, and look at that. It looks. It's still in an uptrend there. So it broke out a while back and adjusted for dividends. So that means if you're holding it and reinvesting your dividend payouts, you're already broken out, already in an uptrend for Shell. So yes, these oil plays, and there's DHT, like this oil shipping play. Look at that. Look at these things. Adjusted for dividends. These things have huge dividends there. That one's 6% dividends. I think it used to be more that they lowered a little bit. But sometimes what I notice is if they lower the dividends, less money's going out to the shareholders, but the money is still there, so the price chart looks better, right? But look at that, even on that, look at that, it's crazy there. Like that one we showed our members there, it looked like a clean breakout last month. That's another oil play, and people like aren't talking about that. So you're right. If you wait for oil to break out, there's oil plays that are. You wanted Exxon, right? Exxon. Look at that. Even Exxon is, look at that crazy, like it's so beautiful, Steve. Like that is an opportunity. I'm going to put them on the alert here. Exxon is about to break out there. It's very close to breaking out. And again, the move, this is not telling you. Yeah, I guess they're seeing past the disinflation there. Maybe they're, you know, sometimes they, if I would overlay the recessions, people, oh, the recession. Well, sometimes the market is so forward-looking that the oil chart or these companies, they might even bottom like before the recession is even officially announced, the start, right? So look at that. This is crazy. This is, if we get a breakout above 119, so a solid close, maybe a monthly close at 122, somewhere there, we're talking about $200 target for Exxon there. Look at this beautiful pattern. This is so great, Steve, because the market years. So January 2023, oh, we're going to be 3 years consolidation pattern. It's like it falls on your laps for your viewers now. Bam. All the people that got trapped here that bought into the euphoria right here, they gave up here. That 3 years, they gave up here. People like they sold here along the way. They took their profits or their losses, and they had to explain to their wives why they lost money here. But now their disadvantage is your advantage, because now you've identified this breakout line, and then you get this crazy, crazy play up here. And that looks even like a good risk to reward play. So I don't know. So you get a, yeah, th th 3 to 1 risk to reward. So you enter here, you put a sell stop all the way down to $100. So that's your risk. You risk one. But if you win, the
You win
ratio,
the.
yeah, you win 3.2 times your wager. So even if you're right half of the time on these plays, you'll make money, right? Because one time out of two you win three, one time out of two you lose one. So you net two over long periods of time. So that's another thing. People confuse being right with being profitable, right? People, they, Patrick, you're just right 50% of the time. Yeah, but hold on, I'm profitable 80% of the time. Like, or when you net your profits, you know, you make that much more. So it's more important to be profitable than be right, much more. Because if you're looking for 100% success rate, nobody does. Like that's
Right.
fairy tale land. There's emotions involved. There's where market where overreactions, whipsaws, you get triggered out. There's a whole bunch of stuff that could happen that you get into a little bit too early. It's a false breakout. Like I can name all the stuff there. But yeah, look at that Exxon. What a nice thing for your viewers there. I hope they take note of that. I'm pretty sure we have that for our members there. We're monitoring this. But yeah, so it doesn't look bearish, right? It's weird, right? It's like it's not the end of the world for oil. Why would these oil companies look to break out to the upside if they're pricing in oil going negative again? This just doesn't make sense.
So you like the setup.
Ah, goodness. Yes. 3-year setup. Moving averages coiled and tight. It's like there's no euphoria. You know, it's when you look here, this the bottom pane is a distance from that 36-month moving average. The price, the distance from that red line. Most of the tops, the huge corrections that happen when you're stretched. Are we stretched, Steve? It's like we're not stretched, we're coiled and tight there. The low-risk entries where you make the greatest gains in the shortest amount of time, they're down here somewhere there. Look at the crazy gains from here to here in the least amount of times. We're about to have another one of these I call them high rot zones, high returns over time there. We're about to have one, but it only gets triggered once we're above that black line. Once we're above that black line, it's you place your bets and that's it there. You can't win all the time, but if you
Go sleep well at night.
yes, you can sleep well at night because you know that look, you're doing higher highs. Look, this is the beauty of a breakout line. A breakout line, a horizontal breakout line, what it tells you is, well, it's almost guaranteed that you had higher lows leading up to it. So that's the half the equation of an uptrend. But a horizontal plane, as soon as I get a close above a horizontal plane, it guarantees that I'm doing a higher swing high, right? Because the swing high was here, the higher high. I have higher highs, higher lows. That's an uptrend. Well, what else do you want to make money? You could only make money if you have an uptrend. So that's what the chart's giving you on the platter. It's giving you an uptrend. It's telling you, I'm just starting the uptrend. You don't want to get in before the uptrend morphs into existence because there's opportunity cost, it could fail. But the first confirmation that there's a new uptrend in effect is when you close above a horizontal plane, confirming a higher high. So higher high, higher lows. And of course, it's gonna correct and do a higher swing low eventually. Hopefully it does that, but you're in an uptrend, so that's how you make money.
So the whole concept of is not as important about being right as it is about being profitable. You're setting yourself up. You can sleep well at night knowing that even though you weren't right for this trade, the course of, it's like you're putting the house the bet the house is in your favor, or what's the Vegas term where the odds will add up and stack up where you're gonna be profitable regardless of loss here and there. Overall, the odds are in your favor. Is
That's
that
right.
the right way of
Yeah,
thinking of it?
the odds, you're the house now, and you have even better odds than the house. Because imagine I choose Exxon, I choose Shell, I choose, I don't know, another one, but one of those companies, I don't know, the CEO runs away with his girlfriend and there's a fiasco or whatever. And the price drops, you could, yeah, well, I don't know, some crazy narrative, fill in your blanks, they mismanage something, they're fraudulent. And the price drops, but because I have bets, like let's say on other of these plays, even if the other one I chose was a failure, got triggered out or whatever, but at least if one of them plays out and reaches the target, because it's a 3-to-1 risk to reward ratio, I'll still make money. So I could place 10 bets, 10 different companies. If 5 of them reach their targets, I'm the happiest guy in the world. Sometimes the price does go up in your intended direction, but you don't reach your target and you decide not to sell. And then the price reverts all the way back down. That could be also another way to have a failure as a trade, right? You don't exit, or the price doesn't reach your measured move, and you decide not to exit for whatever reason because you. And then the price reverts, and then you get triggered out much lower. So, yeah, there's 100 ways that you could have unsuccessful trades, but as long as you know when you it's in the trade setup, it's in this that the game is played. It's before the game starts, right? How do boxers win boxing matches? It's in the training sessions, it's in the strategy, right? Once you go to the boxing match, then you know, it's done, right? It's like if you didn't practice, you didn't do your running, your training, you're just not gonna be ready. So this is, we did the homework here. I set up, this is the game plan. I'm buying here. My sell stops here. If it ever goes back below here, I'm out no matter what. And that's my target. I want to reach that target. If I don't reach it, then my trade setup fails there.
Patrick, we talked about doing some natural gas stuff as well. This was inside for oil. The Widowmaker natural gas, first of all, why is it known as the Widowmaker? And then I know that it can behave differently than oil. So, and when it moves, it can move pretty aggressive. So, I'd love to see what your charts tell you about, if it's a pent up energy or you were looking at a longer grind. What are you looking at and what do you see?
Look at this crazy chart, man. Look at the, this is why the Widowmaker, every time somebody asks me for that, I say, look, it's just so, like, it looks like a human biorhythm, like the heartbeats are like bam, bam, bam. Like, where's my trend? This is a 3-year moving average. If I look at the gold chart always stays nice and beautiful, trending. There's no clear trend. You're trending upwards, but then in 5 months, it plummets 90% and then triggers everybody out on the way down. Then it shoots back up. It's like, this is a mess, this thing there. And right now it's doing one of its crazy moves upwards. But who knows? It could go down for four, 5 months, just trigger everybody out. And yeah, look, this is, it's just crazy, see there. So now it's in an uptrend for sure. There's some type of channel there moving into existence, but it's gonna, I don't know, like, where do you put your sell stops? This is it could go up here, then crash all the way back down here. Could even exaggerate to the downside. It's just nasty, nasty. But it is when I look at it now, there it is in here. Look, I had an expanding rising channel. That one wasn't that bad though, actually. This one there, this was a slightly playable. But you see, when it dropped very violently, so it's hard to get out. But it is in the uptrend right now. I could zoom in maybe on the weekly if we get a better chart. Move drawings. Yeah, it looks like it's breaking out actually right now. Look at that thing. Yeah, broke out last week, Steve. Yeah, there's a breakout here. It looks a little bit better on the weekly, more playable. Yeah, we're somewhere here there. We're somewhere here, coiled and tight. Just broke out last week. So where's my target? Well, it's at the first target here. If it manages to surpass that, so now you can maybe expect a pullback. If it surpasses that, then my target would probably be close to either $6 if I'm not greedy, or maybe 750 if I'm a little bit greedier. But yeah, that looks like it's a roadmap. As long as it stays above this line. Yeah, it's not bad there. Nice catch there. So that's how I see natural gas. I wouldn't look further than that. It could just get very volatile and crazy. See,
Is it harder to be scientific with natural gas?
well, you know what? Sometimes you got to go you could still apply the same method you apply for your other charts. It's just the results might not be as reliable as the other ones, as a nice trending, I don't know, because is this seasonal? Is it because when it's winter, there's spikes? I don't know how this works, but some instruments are just they just play out smoother. The capital, the money that goes in is I don't know if it's because it's pre-planned by pension funds, hedge funds, and it just they trend nicely, like the SPX, beautifully trending. But yeah, you could play it on shorter term there. That's for me the play, but you could expect some crazy stuff there. You got to keep an eye on it because it could fall really fast. And yeah, just make sure you have your sell stop set there to survive the next wave down there. But that is 100% a longer term breakout line on, well, longer term, the descending trend line. It's that resistance. And if it does this little thing here, Steve, on the close back above 450, that will be another opportunity to play it all the way to that $6, $7 range here.
Patrick, this has been very insightful, and I'd love to know a little bit more about North Star bad charts and kind of the research that you provide, and how our listeners could benefit from, what you do.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. Sure. Well, look, yeah, on the X, you could go Bad Charts One, a whole bunch of free stuff, a little Wild West out there. But if you want to get all these type of analysis that we do, you know, these trade setups, like we have a knowledge base, master classes, like the chart request, the whole thing there, it's on our like website, paid website, northstarbadcharts.com. And if you hang in there, guys, well, we will have a Black Friday deal coming up, 50% off. So hang in there, but there, you know, on the website, you get all this stuff there that we talked about with Steve today there, all the macro, all that evidence, all the scientific, you know, no narrative driven stuff. Just like if you want to complement whatever you're doing on your side, but you want to complement with objective, unbiased analysis, then you'll find that on our website.
Patrick, love the scientific approach. Love how you're able to sleep at night. And if other people are able to follow your methods and get more scientific with it, I think we would all benefit. I know I've learned a lot from you just from this short meeting here. Just want to thank you for everybody else. I will put the links in for Patrick and the notes. Again, I'm just Steve Yang. I'm learning with you from people smarter than myself, such as Patrick. Stay smart, stay curious, stay disciplined. Patrick, thanks so much again.
All right. Bye, Steve.